big week for us as we've broken camp and want to continue with this team development process. And this, in a lot of ways, simulates a mock in-season week for us. At least that's the way we're presenting information to the guys. Obviously, from a planning standpoint, it's not the totality that represents the in-season work, but we do want to represent the process. Yesterday was like a regular in-season Wednesday. Today's like a regular in-season Thursday from a preparation standpoint, and some of the things that we're focusing on in the classroom and in the walkthrough setting and on the practice field. I'm excited to watch them take in that information, and hopefully it adds quality to their work, whether they play faster with knowledge or they show some of the techniques that's going to allow them to be successful through preparation. We want to see some of those things that reflect what's going on this week. Also, just want to see how they transition out of a training camp setting. You know, I've spoken a lot about, the singular focus that's easy to be gained at St. Vincent and the great continuity and comfort that we have there. A lot of intangible value in that. 10, 11 o'clock at night, guys sitting around and sharing stories and helping one another. It's a beautiful thing. But as we get back here, it's more in-season-like. We get our day's work done, and guys head to that parking lot, and they go their separate ways. So I want to see how they respond to that change in setting individually and collectively. It's always a big part of this stage of the journey. We also got a really good challenge in our opponent this week, and that's a good thing. It's a challenge for a lot of reasons. Number one, they've got good personnel and good coaching, and they don't have a lot of stuff to look at because of their new staff. So it's challenging us in terms of being able to predict some of the things that's going to be their personality. They got a quarterback battle, and the guys that they're utilizing at quarterback have different skill sets, and they've really got potentially different personalities depending on who the quarterback is. All of those things present challenges for us. I outlined the Buffalo Bills briefly. Again, I mentioned the quarterback battle. It appears all those guys are representing themselves relatively well. They do present different challenges. Matt Castle obviously is an experienced pocket passer, and I think they reflect that in his utilization through the preseason at this point. The other two guys have more mobility, and I think that's displayed not only by design, but what they're able to do when things break down. Tyrod Taylor and EJ Emanuel have done some good things. Whether it's by design, pocket movement, QB keeps, read options, and you see all of those things, and we got to be challenged to be prepared to defend those. But you also see those guys escaping and creating and drop back passing a more traditional like settings when plays break down. So that's a challenge from a prep standpoint. It's a challenge for our defense to rush and contain those guys. It's a challenge for our defense to be prepared to stop some of those concepts. In one setting with quarterbacks with different physical skill sets and a team that's willing to meet the needs of those skill sets. And it also challenges us to rush and contain that quarterback, whoever it may be. And those are the type of challenges we need up front. They've got a nice offense in terms of their utilization of personnel packages. They'll do some thoughtful things that get you off rhythm. Last week, for instance, they got some earned first downs in open grass. They went to goal line personnel, challenging your defense in that way. They got a power running attack. When you think about their offense, think about the San Francisco 49ers in recent years and the way they utilize tight ends and so forth. Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, that's where he's been. You see some of those things. You also think about the mobility of Kaepernick out there, and you can envision some of the ways that he could attack you with some of these mobile quarterbacks that they're looking at, and we weighed those things. Obviously, they've acquired some guys that are significant to their efforts for 15. We've talked about them. I don't know their level of availability or what they intend to do in terms of playing them, but we're just presenting what is the 2015 Buffalo Bills to our guys, whether it's Shady McCoy or Percy Harvins or Rich Incognito. They made some significant acquisitions on the offensive side of the ball. To go along with some known guys like Sammy Watkins, guys you got to be prepared for. On the other side of the ball, it's always a challenge when you face these guys because of their unique personnel up front. They've got guys with big-time pedigree and resumes up front, whether it's Mario Williams or the young interior D lineman from Alabama that's just really lighting the world on fire when you look at the tape, or Kyle Williams, who's been to I don't know how many Pro Bowls Kyle Williams has been to, or Jerry Hughes, who's really distinguished himself since coming over to Buffalo as an edge rusher. He's shown a lot of the signs of things that he was capable of doing at TCU. That's a big challenge for our front. Obviously, you throw in the Rex Ryan and Dennis Thurman schematics to go along with that personnel. We're familiar with both. We scrimmaged and practiced against those guys a year ago in Buffalo, so from a personnel standpoint. And obviously, we've seen Rex and DT a lot over the years, and, you know, that's a dangerous combination with that personnel and what those guys are willing to do. I'm excited about watching our group meet that challenge and get a lot of respect for what they're capable of. In the back end, we got some talented young guys. Aaron Williams appears to be a guy that's really coming into his own as a player. They drafted him pretty high a few years ago out of Texas. Man, he's a quality safety. Got Gilmore at corner they drafted first a couple years ago out of South Carolina, and then they got Darby, a guy they drafted this year out of Florida State. I think he's got two picks in the preseason. They got talent up front. They got young emerging talent in the back end. That's going to be a big challenge for us. They got continuity in the special teams game, even though it's a new staff. Coach Crossman's been there, I think, for a number of years, since 2013. They're going to challenge us in a big way. From that standpoint, you know, we got some significant battles going on from a special team standpoint. Our punters are going back and forth, and that's going to be fun to watch those guys continue to battle. We got to continue to take a look at a number of coverage guys, and, you know, guys going to have an opportunity to state a case for themselves, really. They're football players first, positional players second. You know, they may play wide out or defensive back or tight end or linebacker, but really the strongest statements they can make for themselves in these next few weeks is probably in the team's game, and I think they got a good understanding of that, and for those reasons, I'm excited about watching them play. It's good for us to get on the road and meet the challenges that are associated with that. Hadn't had any success thus far on the road through the preseason, so that's going to be an element of what fires us up this weekend as well. From a health standpoint, you know, like always during the preseason, we're going to leave the light on for these guys and anyone that's healthy at game time. We have the intentions of playing. You know, in terms of how much the starters are going to play, we're going to play that by ear. You know, rest assured they'll play, you know, in a similar fashion as they played a week ago. And then some guys we're going to give them work that we think they need, and other guys we're not. We don't make those decisions in the cookie cutter. You guys that have followed us in the preseason, you understand that. And I imagine there's some questions about whether or not we're going to utilize Michael Vick. We got a couple of days to work before we come to that determination, and how work goes is going to be a factor in deciding whether he plays in the game or not. I think that's appropriate. I'm not prepared to answer that question at this time. But I am prepared to answer any other questions that you might have.
Like, what are you seeing from James Harrison, two sacks, two games?
James is James. You know, he knows how to play. His attributes are his attributes. He plays to his positives. He works to minimize his negatives. You know, there's a lot of attention given to his strength as a player, and that's a distinguishing asset that he has. But James is a technician, and he prides himself in that, and he's done a nice job since we've activated him, working on those skills and showing that approach to a lot of the young guys and producing plays, more importantly, that comes with it. And I think that, you know, that's a clear example to the young guy about how to go about business. They watch him work, but they also watch what the results that work produces. And so he's doing what we expect him to do from that standpoint.
Mike, Marcus Gilbert seems to be one of those guys who, in the last couple of years in the offseason, does all the necessary stuff to kind of reshape his body and get ready. How important is that to be successful in this league?
It is very important. You know, I routinely say that physical conditioning precedes anything else. And, you know, I know it gets to the point where you guys roll your eyes when I say that because it's somewhat of a cliche, but it's very true. Look at the very best players on our team. Forget other teams. Look at the very best players on our team. They're the most highly conditioned ones. They practice longer and harder and finish better than anybody else. Whether we're talking about Marquise Pouncey or Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell, Lawrence Timmons, forget what positions we're talking about. The best players on our team are the most highly conditioned ones, and I point it out just about daily because it is true. And guys that have been around here and establishing themselves as core players and guys that we can depend on have you know, taken that to heart. And Marcus is a guy that's taken that to heart. And it's reflected not only in his body over the course of a 12-month calendar, but also in his play.
Mike, are there any injuries that are going to keep guys out?
Again, I don't know as I sit here. I think the best thing to do this time of year is to leave the light on for guys. Obviously, some guys that are, you know, have been dealing with things and some more recent things won't be participating. Stephon Tuitt, for example. But I think it's appropriate at this juncture to leave the light on for guys like Ross Ventrone, Vince Williams. Them guys are working hard to state the case for themselves and get back out there and play. We're going to give them every opportunity to do so.
What do you know about Marquise Brown's potential for the second half of the season?
Obviously, he's got a chance. You know, we'll have more information as the initial recovery from the surgery subsides. But, you know, everyone feels good about the surgery, but I hadn't seen a surgery that everyone hadn't felt good about at this juncture.
Le'Veon mentioned the other day when he saw Michael Vick here at the facility, he was starstruck. What's been your perception of how he's been received among the players?
You know, I really hadn't paid a lot of attention to it, and partly because, you know, I have a background with Mike. I know how he goes about his day-to-day business, man. He's a good teammate. He's a respectful guy. He's a humble guy. And whatever attention that they, you know, direct toward him, he's going to work to deflect. You know, he's probably talked to me about his impressions about Le'Veon more than Le'Veon has talked about him. He's equally impressed with Le'Veon. So that's just certain things that players go through when they get to know one another. And it's not a bad process. I think that's what, you know, we're doing here through this evaluation process and this team forming process is getting to know one another. And obviously yesterday was an interesting day for some young guys that probably grew up watching them play. But the longer we go through it, I think the less of a story that's going to be, and the more important thing is what he's able to bring to us and what he's willing to do for us.
Mike, what are your impressions with how Jarvis and Bud have done this camp or this preseason?
You know, largely it's arrow pointed up, and I think specifically in regards to Bud, it's been arrow pointed up more recently. And we assumed that would occur. He's a guy with a lot of talent that we thought merited first-round selection. But talent alone doesn't do it. It takes maturity and understanding and know-how, and that's things that he's working at developing. And I think as he continues to do that, his talents will continue to show through. And, you know, the same thing could be said in a less dramatic way for a guy like Jarvis, who is a young guy but has missed some time over the course of the time since he's been here due to injury. The more consistently that he can stay on the field, he'll sharpen his skills that allow him to be successful, much like the discussion we were having regarding savvy old James Harrison.
Are Mike Mitchell, Timmons, and Cortez Allen in the light on category? Still waiting to see for them?
Yes. Yes. Obviously, Mike Mitchell tweaked his ankle yesterday in practice, and we're waiting to see the ramifications of that. But again, I'm hopeful in thinking about the availability of all of those guys as opposed to being in a hurry to eliminate them. During the course of the regular season, you work under circumstances where you present percentages of availability and things of that nature as you push forward toward the weekend. We don't have those issues during the preseason, so I think the most appropriate thing for us to do is to remain hopeful and lead a light on for him to the 11th hour.
Mike, do you feel confident in Hartley that he's your guy, or is that an ongoing process too? Or
it's an ongoing process. You know, he's done a nice job thus far. We focus on a lot of the special teams things on Thursday, and you got to acknowledge that, you know, he's made the kicks that's been presented to him since he's been here, whether it's in stadiums or whether it's in a drill-like setting like the two-minute drill we did the last week in Latrobe. He banged a couple significant kicks there at the end of that session. He's doing a nice job with it. We'll continue to watch it like we are all positions.
Do you get a little more exotic with your pressures this week, or do you still look mostly for beating a guy one-on-one?
You know, depends on game circumstance. I'm not going to, you know, tell you what I intend to do. I'm more concerned about what we're prepared to do. And from time to time, we got to be exotic. That's an element of it, but not at the expense of tricking ourselves. And that's a delicate balance that we're going to talk about week in and week out when you're talking about young defenders like we have.
Is there a desire to get Tyler Murphy able to like run a whole series of quarterback at any point this preseason?
you know, we'll think about it as we get close to these games. Obviously, the third preseason game being what it is and the fourth preseason game being what it is, there's probably more of a likelihood of that developing in week four. So ask me next week.
Mike, how has Jesse James bounced back from a tough first game?
Largely, his arrow's been pointed up, and he's had a lot of room for the arrow to be pointed up if you're talking about the Hall of Fame performance. But you also get to learn about a guy in the midst of how they deal with subpar performances and adversity. And an encouraging thing about him, you know, he hadn't blinked a lot. He still brings a can-do attitude and has worked and has responded in a positive manner. But it's a lot of ball ahead. He's got two full games to make state the case for himself as well.
A number of the players said they prefer a shorter preseason in terms of games. What's your stance on that?
I don't care what they prefer, man. We just play the schedule that's presented to us. We had five this year, man. I'll take it. I'd imagine we're going to have four next year. Next year I'll be talking about taking those. Some of the things we spend a lot of time talking about are irrelevant. They're out of our control, and it's a waste of time. We don't have control over the schedule. We don't have control over who we play, when we play, where we play. Our job is to show up ready to play. And those are some of the things I talk about when I hear some of that type of discussion that's, in my opinion, a waste of time.
You're talking about discussion from your own players?
Yes.
I didn't mean five versus four. I meant four versus three or two going forward.
Whatever the discussion may be. You know, we don't have a vote. Those guys specifically don't have a vote. So they better just play the games that's presented to them.
Mike, how would you characterize your punter battle right now between Wing and Barry?
It's been nip and tuck. You know, it's a process as you go through it. And obviously, as we continue to go through it, we'll be presenting some more things that are key elements of the evaluation, gamesmanship and planning and so forth. So we're just going to continue to do that and continue to watch it, and maybe we'll get more clarity as we get more technical in terms of some of the things we're asking.
Mike, I think league-wide it's been 25 ACLs since OTA started. Is that just the cost of doing business, or is there something that needs to be studied or done to try to minimize it?
I'm sure that's being done by people in position to do that. I'm focusing on this group and getting them ready for the season. I don't live in a vacuum. I know that there's been a lot of significant injuries for people in other cities as well as ours, but I hadn't taken the time to analyze it. I really hadn't had the time to analyze it from that perspective.
You mentioned conditioning earlier, Coach. Talk about your wide receivers a little bit. It looks like they're much more technically advanced than they were at this time last year.
They are, and in a lot of ways it's a young group, and I really just think it's the natural maturation of them as individuals. What I mean is Marcus Wheaton is a more highly conditioned athlete than he was a year ago. Same thing could be said about Martavis. Hayward Bay continues to amaze us with his level of conditioning, and that, you know, Antonio Brown, like I mentioned earlier, is known for that, and I think that level of conditioning allows them to work, and that work allows them to develop the skill through repetition that allows them to produce what you suggested.
Mike, how much of that is AB, his effect on those guys?
No question. He sets the pace for the group, not only that group in a lot of ways, but our team. But, you know, this is not Richard Mann's first rodeo. I've done it with Richard Mann in several cities, and, you know, he's got 30-plus years of wide receiver coaching experience in this league. And so I would imagine that he's putting his hand in the pile as well.
Semi coach getting there yet?
He's working, but some of those things, you know, that we're looking for, and I know you guys laugh when I say that, you know, how can an NFL wideout not be in shape? There's in shape, and then there's fanatical shape. And Antonio Brown's in better shape every year than he was the year before. And Sammy Coates is working extremely hard. I have no issues with his work. I have no issues by the place in which he's starting, to be honest with you. As a rookie, he's probably in better condition than Martavis was a year ago, but that doesn't mean it's acceptable. He's got to work hard every day, and I'd imagine 12 months from now he's going to laugh at the level of conditioning he was in this year. It's just a process that you go through if you're chasing greatness, and we're trying to challenge all men to chase greatness.
Did receivers have to have that same level of conditioning 20 years ago?
I don't know. I wasn't doing it 20 years ago at this level. Ask Richard Mann. He probably can give you some details in that regard.
Anything else? All right.
Thank you.